Let's bow our heads and ask for God's help as we look at that. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard. Help us now, gracious Father, by your Spirit, to pay careful attention to what you say as you speak to us by your precious Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, there are some people, aren't there, who speak, or seem to speak, just for the sake of it. Every moment of blissful silence they fill with pointless noise. But there aren't many people like that. Most of us, when we speak, most of the time, it's because we're trying to do something. We're trying to make a difference, aren't we? So you see mum or dad heading out to the shops or doing the online order on the laptop. We've run out of chocolate, you tell them. Why? Well, not just because you want them to kind of file away that bit of information. Oh, there's no more chocolate in the house. You are desperately hoping they'll order some more or buy some more. Someone runs into a building that we're in and they shout, there's a fire. What do they want us to do in that moment? Not just sort of file away that piece of information. That's interesting. There's a fire somewhere in here. They want us to get out. We speak to make a difference. And today we see it is just the same with the Lord. Think what we've heard him say to us in Hebrews 1 so far. So he's spoken to us by his Son, and it can't get better than that, we've heard him say, because of who his Son is, who Jesus is, and what he's done. He's so good. He's way, way better than angels. That was the gist of last week's passage. Jesus is very, very great. That's the message of Hebrews 1. Actually, to be honest, it's the message of most of the book of Hebrews 2. But why do we need to know that? Not just so that we can file away that bit of information. Oh, Jesus is very great in the storage systems of our minds. No, beginning of chapter 2, now we see why the Lord has been showing us how great Jesus is. Have a look, verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so that we do not drift away. Therefore is often a very key word, isn't it? Often a sign that the rubber is really about to hit the road in what we're reading. I've told you this, so therefore you do this. And it's like that here. Why have I told you in so much detail how great Jesus is in Hebrews chapter 1? So you pay the most careful attention, therefore, so that you don't drift away. That image of drifting away is a sobering one, isn't it? Here's Jesus, everything that we're offered and we're given in him. Just amazing, amazing blessing and safety from the judgment that we otherwise deserve for our sins. Total security and happiness in Christ forever. But like a boat on a current, there's always the danger that we'll drift from that safe harbour that is the Lord Jesus back out into the lethal storm of the judgment from God that, left to ourselves, our sins do deserve. So don't do that, this is saying. Whatever you do, don't drift from Jesus. And just notice the beginning of verse 3 too. How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation, he asks. So again, there's Jesus coming to our world. Everything that he offers to us, everything that we could ever need or want, if we realize, found in him for us to enjoy in him. Such a great salvation. But there's a danger that, well, like parents, we see them sometimes, don't we? Some of us, if we're honest, this has been us. Just so distracted by things going on our phones, maybe, that for a while we don't even notice our children when they're right next to us. Don't do that, this is saying. Don't ignore that great salvation. Jesus is far too good to ignore. So basically, there are two things for us to see in our passage today. We've got a good sense of both of them already. There's a warning and there's an antidote. And we'll think about them each in turn. First, the warning. Again, whatever you do, don't drift from Jesus. Whatever we do, don't ignore him. How do you feel about warnings? Most of us, we're a bit twitchy about warnings, aren't we? We don't really like the sound of them, especially intense spiritual ones. They seem a bit offensive, even severe, don't they, in our day and age, aren't they more of an Old Testament thing? We sometimes think, you know, that idea that we sometimes have that God has a bit of a personality change between the Old and the New Testament. So Old Testament full of threats of doom and judgment if we get things wrong. New Testament so much more positive and loving and warm. Well, it's a great theory until we actually read the Old and the New Testaments for ourselves. And we suddenly find, well, there in the Old Testament, there's all kinds of places where the Lord in his love is pleading with his people to come to him for blessing. And there are various places in the New Testament where he's warning us of what will happen if we don't, including in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews includes some of the Bible's strongest warnings of all. Oh, we think that's a bit of a shock. We weren't expecting that in this book. Not very loving, is it? Oh, really? What was at your front gate as you were growing up as a child? Can you picture it if you are still kind of growing up? What's at your front gate? Can you picture to your house, to your front garden? You know what was right by the front gate of the house I grew up in? There was a picture of someone being electrocuted, kind of falling backwards with a massive great lightning bolt hitting them in the middle. Not very nice, is it, to inflict that on a young child? Imagine what it does as you walk past that every day when you go in and out of your house. Was it cruel? I suppose it could have been, but of course that's not why it was there, because just a few metres down a path from the front of my parents' house, the house where they still live actually, is one of those little electricity substations. You know the kinds of things I mean? Fenced off, big no entry signs around it. But even so, very tempting to a foolish young person like I was and his friends. And the people who ran it, they knew it was tempting. So under the words danger of death, because they really weren't messing around, there was this picture of someone dying by being electrocuted. Why? Well, not to be cruel or ruin our childhoods, but to preserve them. To encourage us to stay in the place of safety and not climb over into the place of danger and possible death. And it's just like these warnings here, all the warnings in the Bible, actually. It's our loving God speaking, not out of cruelty, but for our good. And they're given to encourage us to run to and to stay in the place of safety, the Lord Jesus, and not move from him into the place of danger. So verse 1, don't drift from what we've heard, what God has spoken to us by his Son. Verse 3, don't ignore such a great salvation that we have in him. And the thing is, they are still such relevant warnings to you and me today, aren't they? Picture yourself for a moment, if you'd say you're a Christian, as a little boat safe in the harbour, alongside the harbour that is the Lord Jesus. But we look down at the water that we're floating on, and there are so many swirling currents, aren't there, that are always trying to pull us away from him, draw us away from him. So many different currents. Suffering would be one, I guess, wouldn't it? Especially suffering for being a Christian. So, I mean, let's be honest, we have it really easy compared to many of our brothers and sisters around the world, but it's still there, isn't it? And it's not nice, the bemused looks from neighbours when they hear where we've been on Sunday, and the teasing from our friends at school, perhaps. The downright mockery of Christians in the media these days. The regular accusation that we harm society around us by what we believe. So all the time, that suggestion, like quite a strong current, really. Life would be so much easier if we just distanced ourselves from Jesus a bit, at least. Ignored him a bit. Then there's busyness. There's another current. Let's be honest, this is really the one for many of us, isn't it? You know, it's not that we're not interested in Jesus. It's just that there are so many other things that seem to require our attention too. So coursework and revision and sport and time on our phone and qualifications to get and exams to pass and jobs to start and houses to buy and maybe do up and friendships to maintain and relationships to explore and marriages to build and children to raise and career ladders to climb and community things to do and parents to care for perhaps. And then when we get to the end of some of those things and are just breathing a huge sigh of relief, people start giving us helpful books, don't they? 101 more things to do, places to go before you die. Great, thanks. So many other things to juggle and focus on. No wonder we lose sight of Jesus until suddenly we realise we've drifted from him. Or temptation, there would be another current. such blessing and safety in Jesus if we trust him. Yeah, but look how happy I could make you, something else says, if you just do this, click here, follow those people, whatever it might be. And suddenly we're torn, aren't we? Because there's Jesus and there's this other thing that's trying to draw us away from him. And inside we've got our old sinful nature still, which is giving us quite a tug in the direction of that other thing too. And so no wonder that as we look at that other thing for a little while, we find we start to drift from Jesus and ignore him. So many things, you'll be able to think of others like currents that are always there trying to pull us away from him and tempting us to ignore him. Well, yes, we might be thinking, a good point, Hebrews. I can think of a few people for whom that seems to be true, who are drifting away and seem to be ignoring Jesus. I hope they somehow catch up with this sermon today, and oh, so do I. But do just notice that right now this isn't just talking to them. It is speaking to you and me too. In fact, I think this is remarkable. It struck me this week as I was preparing the way the author of Hebrews there, he's speaking to himself too. Do you notice that verse 1? We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Or verse 3, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? And that's really humbling, isn't it? It makes us realize there are not two categories of Christians in the world, those who are in danger of drifting from Jesus and ignoring him and those who aren't. We're all in danger of this. If we're not careful, the pull of our culture around us, other people in our lives perhaps, our own sinful hearts. I mean, this could so easily happen to us too. So don't, this is saying, just don't. And just in case we're tempted to take this lightly, notice how Hebrews spells out how serious it will be if we do. Verse 2, for since the message spoken through angels, in other words, the Old Testament law given at Mount Sinai, angels involved as the law was given there, we're told elsewhere in the Bible, if that was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? In other words, if what God said in the Old Testament was reliable, and read it, it was, and if people got into trouble for disobeying it, and again, read it, they did. Well, why would we ever think it would be okay for us to ignore what God has said to us by his Son? This message that middle of verse 3 was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, in which verse 4 God also testified to by signs, wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So Jesus comes into our world, Jesus speaks, he commissions his apostles to pass his message on to the rest of the world, and God by his Spirit does all kinds of extraordinary, wonderful, miraculous things. You can read about them in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. And they're like sort of trumpet fanfares and sirens, klaxons and flashing lights in the middle of history to say, this really matters. You must listen to this. Why would we ever think it would be okay if in the end we turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to that? So don't. So second heading, what's the antidote? How do we avoid drifting from Jesus and ignoring him? And we can't miss it really, can we? Because it's right there up front in our passage, beginning of verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so that we do not drift away. Pay attention to Jesus, the most careful attention to what God has said to us by his Son. And it is a very active thing, isn't it? Paying careful attention. The things that we're warned against in this passage, they're not very active, are they? Drifting is a very passive thing. It just happens if we're not careful. Any dead thing can drift on current. Same with ignoring something. We do it without even realizing sometimes, don't we? I'm so sorry, I didn't even realize you were there, we say to someone. Whereas paying careful attention is so different, it's so active, it really doesn't happen unless we make sure it happens. So Imagine you're following a friend or family member through a really huge, busy crowd at some big event, a sports event. You're in a massive stadium or a concert or something. Think how you fix your eyes on them. You glue your eyes to them to make sure that you don't lose sight of them and get separated. Or if you're into boats and sailing and stuff, trying to hold a boat in a position on a current. Think how you're always checking around to make sure that you're not moving, straining every muscle to make sure you're not. Well, be like that with Jesus, this is saying. In a world that is full of things that want to draw us away from him, pay the most careful attention to him. And again, I found this interesting. It makes such a difference to our understanding of what it is to be a Christian, really, doesn't it? What does it mean to be a Christian, to be safe in Jesus? Does it just mean that we've paid him quite a bit of attention at some point in our lives? Maybe there was a kind of a conversion experience, a moment where we heard of him and we were gripped by him, and for a while we really paid him loads of attention. And now we think, well, I've got that. It's in my back pocket. It's like a get out of jail free card in Monopoly. And one day when I meet Jesus, I can whip it out and I can say, Jesus, look, fine, I'm here, I'm okay, because I've got this. Well, no, notice, what does it mean to be safe in Jesus? This says to be paying the most careful attention to him. Today, right now, because if we're not doing that, it won't just be others around us who drift, it will be us too. And we know it's true because this tells us it's true, and I know it's true because I fairly vividly remember one of the times that it happened to me. For me, it was all about a job. It was in my MOD days years ago now, when I got given a brilliant job there. It was the kind of job that from the moment we joined, we'd all had our eyes on. It was demanding and fascinating and a bit flattering, and I loved it. And I still trusted Jesus, and I still told people I did from time to time, but in my foolishness, almost all my attention went on that job. And so I was busy, often working on Sundays, hardly ever made it to church, working really long hours in the week, little time reading the Bible on my own, hardly any other Christian fellowship. And I drifted, and to this day I am so thankful to God for bringing me to my senses and making me realise how far I'd drifted and bringing me back, which in his kindness had an awful lot to do with getting properly settled here at Barkham. This was way before I started working here. You see, he's really not joking, whoever wrote Hebrews. He's not scaring us just for fun. In his love, our God in heaven is looking at each of us right now and all of us as a church, and he's saying, don't drift from Jesus. Don't ignore him. Pay closer attention to him. And so the question for us is, will we? Teenagers, younger ones perhaps, suddenly discovering you've got to that stage in life where you've got a bit more say in how you live and what you do. Previously it's been mum or dad who've helped us pay close attention to Jesus. Well, what about now? Now it's a bit more down to us. Students maybe heading off to college, perhaps this will be some of us very soon as well, really getting away from parental control. No one here to know what we do. Biggest question. Will we keep paying close attention to Jesus? Run it on a few years. Jobs to do. Career ladders to climb. Friends to stay in touch with. Maybe marriages to build. Families to raise. After a while, perhaps there are older parents to care for too. There are so many good things that we need to give our attention to. And it's right that we do. But where will our most careful attention go? Maybe you're retired and some of the rest of us here are looking at you with envy. Your time at last, the world says. What will you do? So many opportunities. Well, where will your most careful attention go? You see, it doesn't matter who we are, does it? It doesn't matter what stage of life that we're at. There is a big question for us here, isn't there? Who or what will get our most careful attention? Someone or something else? Or the most glorious person of all? Because just as we finish, and we are about to finish, I promise, that is the thing, isn't it? When God tells us, whatever else is going on, pay most careful attention to my son. That is not like a parent walking in and saying, I want you to turn off that amazing film or match or whatever it is that you're watching right now and go and do your homework. Which feels like being made to go and watch paint dry, doesn't it? It's not like someone coming in and saying, no more Pringles and chocolate. From now on, it's just rice cakes. This is God himself saying, my son, my glorious son, who the Father is delighted in so much for all eternity, who is so glorious that we will never really get our heads around how great he is, and so beautiful that deep into eternity we'll only be more entranced by him. Pay more careful attention to him, the Father saying. The one in whom we have such a great salvation. Let's pray as we finish. I'll be quiet for a moment and then I'll lead us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the love that you have for each of us that means that you speak these words. And we know that we need this warning, we really do. Help us never to think we could never drift from Jesus or ignore him. And so again we pray, help us as individuals and together as a church family to pay much closer attention to him. We pray for his glory. Amen.